Everyone who's lost someone they love long before it was their time. You feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry. Cry out to Jesus. For the mirrors that struggling just to hang on, they've lost all of their faith and love, and they've done all they can to make it right again. Still it's not enough. Addictions and chains, you try to give up, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not alone in your shame and your suffering. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness. Tears from her eyes, and for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you. For the weary, and love for the broken.
has sounded for the trumpets that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer, and be jubilant, my feet.
His truth is marching on.
Glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me, as he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free.
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, well, the New World Order was on the ballot, and Americans voted to approve it. Contrary to popular opinion, democracy was not on the ballot last week. The policies of the New World Order were, and Americans voted to show their approval for chemical castration of children, public school grooming, forced government injections, and an authoritarian regime that is antithetical to free people everywhere. I got so many words in my mouth today, they don't want to come out. They also voted for forced consumption of insects, implantable brain microchips, the Great Reset, the Eco-Bible, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. The swamp has emerged victorious with a mandate from the American people. Welcome to day 973 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Psalms 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, what we told you was coming has now arrived. The red wave that wasn't has revealed the true dark heart of America in these last days. America really has no problem with being locked down while economies are intentionally crashed. No problem with being forced to take an experimental, unproved, and untested drug that has killed and injured over 1 million people in America alone. What was on the agenda? Just about everything that we've been warning you about for the past 2.5 years. Anthony Fauci will never be brought to justice. Bill Gates now has new license to continue pretending to be an epidemiologist, and Klaus Schwab is so happy he's doing cartwheels. Now, the good news is that everything the Bible has prophesied concerning the last days is obviously true and coming to pass before your very eyes. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we mourn the death of the last free nation on earth, roll up our sleeves, and get to work in our Lord's harvest field to the fight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. We lift up Annetta for a complete healing today, that she'll be able to get out of that wheelchair and walk again. We also pray for her husband's salvation. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Amanda Mathias is very sick, and she needs our prayers. We're praying for marriages today. Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, Bianca and Derek. Karen Robinson is very thankful that we have been praying for her father, who had a stroke and has lost feeling on the right side of his body. She was in the bookstore on Saturday, and I got to spend some time talking with her. Dale Parks needs prayer for a healing from bladder cancer. Elena Blackburn is expecting and is asking for prayer that she'll be able to carry to full term and give health birth to a healthy baby. We are praying for a missionary family with an unspoken prayer request. We are praying for Lori Ann as she closes in on purchasing her first home. And we're asking the Lord to lead and guide that entire process to its conclusion. Steve Merkel is feeling discouraged and wants prayer to get back on track with the Lord. Kathy Kelly would like prayer for her sister, Dunya. Dunya has been diagnosed with non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver, and her husband, Kathy's husband, Dennis, may be called on to donate a portion of his liver. Kathy Bunton is asking for prayers for possible breast cancer and prayers for her husband's salvation. And Shauna, she's asking prayer for discernment and God's blessing on her and her sister moving to Florida. And by moving to Florida, we are hoping that it's going to be close to St. Augustine. And that would be a blessing indeed. Let's see if there's anything else in the chat room that I may have missed. Marie Comfort, rapture ready. I'm looking forward to seeing Marie for Thanksgiving. Please pray for a missionary group called One for Israel and for new believers. It's funny that she mentions One for Israel. About 12 years ago, one of the very first people to purchase advertising on Now the End Begins, and Now the End Begins was really small, a man by the name of Eitan, and he is the head guy at One for Israel. And about 12 years ago, his ministry was very small and very tiny, but the Lord has blessed it, and we are very glad to see that they are getting the increase over there, and they are Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing to pray for that group of people. Marie also says, please pray for safe travels for this week as she is headed to St. Augustine. Jeff Ward in Kentucky says, this morning in eastern Kentucky, there was a school bus that got wrecked, and it went down the hill about 40, 50 feet, and they flew 3 kids out in the medical helicopter. Please pray for them. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to take control of all these prayers and prayers requests. And Lord, you do something. People need to be healed. People need a blessing. People need to have broken bones mended and high blood pressure lowered and hearts healed. We're praying for Amanda and Dana, who are experiencing heart issues. And Father God, only you can do that. And yes, you work through doctors and you can work through medicine, but the main way that you work is through God's people praying for each other. And prayer is the best weapon that we have. And Lord, we just come before you and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, you'll have to forgive me today. I obviously am tripping over my words just a little bit. But that's just because I have so much that needs to get said today. We're talking about a very mature topic. And what we're talking about is the disastrous, absolutely disastrous showing of the Republican Party last week in the midterm elections. Now, in the run-up to that, all the Democrats were saying was that democracy was on the ballot. Democracy was on the ballot. Democracy wasn't really on the ballot because we're a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. And this is, well, this is what happens when you don't teach civics, when you don't teach these fundamental basics of American government in school, because they're too busy grooming children and using taxpayer funds to chemically castrate them, that nobody has time to learn how government actually works. And we do not have a democracy. Stop saying that. It was never true. It's not true. We don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. And we probably don't even have that anymore. But that was the original intention of the founding fathers. But democracy was not on the ballot. You know what was on the ballot? What was actually on the ballot? This is the first election since the last day, 973 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. All the events that we've been talking about for the last 2.5 years, this podcast came into existence because people demanded, now they asked me nicely, but they demanded that we create a podcast so that we could talk about all this crazy stuff that was happening. And so I prayed about it. And if you remember the first podcast, it was only a 30-minute podcast, and it was once a week. It was every Monday from 12 to 12:30. And that makes me laugh because here we are hundreds of hours later, and we quite often average about an hour and 45 minutes with each podcast. We've gone as long sometimes as 2.5 hours. But this whole podcast came into existence because there was so much wacky, crazy things happening that people, they wrote to me, they called me, they messaged me, and they said, you got to throw your hat in the ring. You got to start a podcast. You got to talk about this stuff and run it through the filter of the Bible. So basically, our podcast is what we've been doing on Now the End Begins for the last 13 years, giving you the news of the day through the filter of your King James Bible. This podcast is basically doing that live on air. And I don't know about you, but it's been a blessing for me. And we are blessed with a very large audience of people who listen. And I'm very, very happy to see that 2.5 years later, it continues to grow and thrive. But my whole point is this. We created the podcast because so much New World Order, Illuminati, wacky end time stuff was happening that we had to talk about it on a weekly basis. Now, democracy was not on the ballot last week. What was on the ballot was all this crazy stuff that we've been talking about, how they are grooming children as young as 3 years old in the public school system to be transgender. How they are trying to force us to eat lab-grown meat and insects. Now, who's trying to force us to eat lab-grown meat and insects? Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates. Klaus Schwab is the guy who came out with the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And for the past 2.5 years, we've been watching all these things come to pass. So, last Tuesday, America had the opportunity to go into the ballot box and not vote Republican, not vote Democrat, but to vote how they feel about the last 973 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. There was no red wave. We have, as of Saturday night, the Republicans have officially lost the Senate. And the unthinkable has happened. It is at this point, it is not just possible, but it is becoming increasing likely that the Republicans are going to lose the Congress as well. The Democrats are thrilled. In fact, they are shocked at their own success. Take a listen to this.
So here for a little bit more analysis of the midterm election results and what it means for each party's future is, I'm not sure, CBS News political analyst and Republican strategist Leslie Chances, not sure if we got her, and CBS News political contributor and Democratic strategist Joel Payne. I think it's just me and you, Joel. I don't know what happened to Leslie. Maybe she slept in, or I don't know. Could be technical difficulties. But let's talk about it, because there's a lot to talk about from the Democrat side. First off, let me ask you, now that most of the races are called, is there anything at all that has surprised you about the results? Certainly, it seems like Republicans were caught off guard by the lack of the red wave, which I'm sort of sick and tired of saying, but, you know.
Yeah, look, I think even a Democrat, the most optimistic Democrat, did not expect the week that we experienced last week, holding the Senate and having the potential to grow Democrats' lead in the Senate. In the House, essentially fighting it to a draw with potentially, Republicans taking a slight lead. It looks like there's a path for them to do that now. But this is, you know, much against historical trends, historical headwinds. Really, 2002 and 1998 are the only historical comparisons to what we have just seen last week with the end party not taking major losses in a midterm. I think something that's not coincidental is the fact that in both of those cases, you had major national events that interceded with the body politic. In 1998, you had the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal and how Republicans reacted to that. And then in 2002, you had the aftermath of 9/11. I think it's a comparable moment when you think about the fact that over the last few years, we've had this massive transformation in American society, going back to George Floyd, going back to COVID, going to Dobbs. You've had a lot of changes to the coalitions. And so I think when we're doing kind of an autopsy of what happened, I think you have to consider those societal bigger picture factors as well. But yeah, look, even the most optimistic Democrat, I think, did not expect the week that we just experienced.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to play a bite from Tom Cotton, I think it is. His sort of Senator Tom Cotton.
So before I let that clip continue, you heard him say that there was no Democrat that expected what happened. Not a single. In fact, they were bracing for an absolute shellacking of epic proportions. And it did not happen. The red wave did not materialize.
Cotton, who's a Republican, his take on the midterm performance for Republican candidates. I'm going to play what he had to say.
Obviously, we hope that we would have won more seats. I think the lessons in our victories can be applied to some places where we came up a little bit short. We need to focus on serious substantive accomplishments and issues like crime, like our wide open border, like addressing runaway inflation. I think we have lessons in the places we had victories, sure, that we can apply to places where we were disappointed.
Okay, so he sort of kind of glossed over a little bit about the performances of certain candidates. I want to ask you, Joel, do you think that this was almost as much, if not more, about the quality of Republican candidates versus the messaging coming from the Democratic Party?
Yeah, you know, and I was on Face the Nation. I was, you know, in a segment after Senator Cotton, and I watched that in amazement to a certain extent, because it doesn't seem like he's really absorbing kind of the lesson that the voters dealt to all, you know, folks in public service last week. It seems like those issues of crime and immigration, look, no one is suggesting that those are not important whatsoever, but it would seem to be a bit, you know, a bit ignoring kind of the political climate to not think about how Republicans kind of move the needle on abortion. The fact that you had these Republican appointed Supreme Court justices that changed the public discussion on abortion.
So let me stop him right there again. A couple of months ago, we had this unbelievable victory at the Supreme Court, where after a half century of Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decided to kick it back to the states and let the individual states decide, which, if you believe in the American system of government, that's what's supposed to happen anyway. We're not supposed to be living in a country that's a constitutional republic that takes all our orders from the federal government. We're supposed to be a semi-autonomous collection of nations. We're not supposed to be an oligarchy. So when you look at all the things that were in favor of the red wave and all of the nonsense from Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, the lockdowns, all the people that were fired from their government jobs because they refused to take the vaccine, and the list goes on and on and on. What happened in Florida should have happened nationwide. It should have been the most lopsided victory in American history, because the things that we have lived through for the past 973 days are unprecedented. There is not one person alive today that has seen anything like what has happened in the last 973 days in this country. Now, I'm looking at some of the comments in the chat room, and let me just talk about this topic for a moment. If you go back to the 2020 election, and if you remember election night and those five different states just shut down the counting and did all that stuff, and they turned their lights out, and it was all very mysterious and it was all very, you know, creepy and all that stuff. If you want to make a case that there was a stolen election, well, 2020 was a pretty good case to make. But the problem is, you can't make a claim, you can't make a charge, you can't make an accusation if you don't have the proof to back it up. And unfortunately, and we did a whole podcast a couple of months ago about Dinesh D'Souza and his 2000 Mules documentary. I played about 10 minutes worth of that documentary on this program. However, the Republicans were never able to bring sufficient proof into a court of law. So, the one thing that I would highly recommend, especially after this last election, you can't go around every time that you lose and saying that the election was stolen. Now, if you have proof, show me the proof. If you can prove that the election was stolen, well, that's a whole different story. But I don't believe that the election this past Tuesday was stolen. I really don't. I believe that the Democrats, I'm not going to say that they won fair and square, because nothing in politics happens that's fair and square. If you're a politician, and I know people like Ted Cruz, they follow Now the End Begins. They listen to these podcasts. And I don't mean to insult you, but if you're a politician, you are compromised. If you are a politician, every single day when you go to work, it's how much do I have to lie to do business today in the Congress, in the Senate, in the Supreme Court, in the executive branch, in the Department of Justice, in the CIA, the FBI? How much do I have to lie in order to do business today? And I'm talking about both sides of the aisle. So don't walk around blaming everything on the election was stolen. I don't believe that this particular election was stolen. I believe that the Republicans and people who vote Republican, people just don't care anymore. We have become a lukewarm and apathetic nation. Look, just a couple of months ago, gas in Florida, and I don't want to screw this up, but it was like $4.79 or $4. It cost me $100 to fill up my car. Now, gas has gone down to the basement bottom price. This morning, it was $3.56 a gallon. And nobody has a problem with that. I mean, people are grumbling, but the gas stations are filled. Some gas stations are running out of gas because they're selling so much of it. Why is there no outrage? Gas prices are going back up. And the people who are putting those gas prices back up just got reelected. Are you starting to see what I'm talking about? For the last 2.5 years on this podcast, we've been talking about the lukewarm Laodicean Christian church. And this is exactly what we're talking about. When you look at these election results, this is exactly what's going on. Republicans did not show up. So guess what? We lost. And if we also lose the Congress, you are going to see a feeding frenzy, the likes of which we have never seen in this country. Now, the case that we've made for the last 2.5 years is that all these events that we've been watching, it is the New World Order taking down the United States of America, because we are the last bastion of freedom, and you've got to take America down if you want to bring in the New World Order. Last Tuesday, in America, with free and fair elections, America voted to confirm the New World Order. And there is no other way to explain it. Americans want the New World Order. Now, I want to play this clip. We're going to talk about Donald Trump for a little bit. I want to play this clip. David Chappelle hosted Saturday Night Live, and he had like an 8-minute monologue. And they just let him talk and talk and talk. And he did his best to try and do damage control for his friend Kanye West with all those anti-Semitic comments that West made a couple of weeks ago. But in doing so, Dave Chappelle made a number of anti-Semitic statements himself. Now, I don't want to play those statements, but he talked about why people are so passionate about Donald Trump. And I told you 2 years ago that when Donald Trump lost, stolen election, whatever, I told you 2 years ago that Donald Trump was not going to come back. Donald Trump is not going to come back. I am not prophesying. I am simply giving you my opinion. But I can very confidently state that Donald Trump is not ever going to be back in American politics. Because if he was, there would have been a red wave. And there was no red wave. Now, granted, the MAGA supporters of Donald Trump are a very loud bunch of people. But being loud doesn't translate into votes at the ballot box. So David Chappelle, he gave a little explanation of why he thought Donald Trump has such a passionate and fervent following. And that's the clip that I want to play for you. And then we're going to talk about that. Take a listen to this. Dave Chappelle explains the lure of Donald Trump.
The news now, they're declaring the end of the Trump era. Now, okay, I can see how in New York you might believe this is the end of his era. I'm just being honest with you. I live in Ohio amongst the poor whites. A lot of you don't understand why Trump was so popular, but I get it because I hear it every day. He's very loved. And the reason he's loved is because people in Ohio have never seen somebody like him. He's what I call an honest liar. Well, I'm not joking right now. He's an honest liar. That first debate, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a white male billionaire screaming at the top of his lungs, "This whole system is rigged," he said. And across the stage was a white woman, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, sitting over there looking at him like, "No, it's not." I said, "Now, wait a minute, bro. It's what he said." And the moderator said, "Well, Mr. Trump, if in fact the system is rigged, as you suggest, what would be your evidence?" Remember what he said, bro? He said, "I know the system is rigged because I use it." I said. And then he pulled out an Illuminati membership card and chopped a line of cocaine up and did it right at the podium. No one had ever heard someone say something that true. And then Hillary Clinton tried to punch him in the taxes. She said, "This man doesn't pay his taxes." He shot right back, "That makes me smart." And then he said, "If you want me to pay my taxes, then change the tax code. But I know you won't, because your friends and your donors enjoy the same tax breaks that I do." And with that, my friends, a star was born. No one had ever seen anything like that. No one had ever seen somebody come from inside of that house, outside, and tell all the commoners, "We are doing everything that you think we are doing inside of that house." They just went right back in the house and started playing the game again.
So that was one of the most insightful takes I have ever heard on Donald Trump, going back to the 2016 election. And yes, I remember very, very well during those debates with Hillary that Trump stood up there and he made those exact statements that Chappelle just said he made. And I remember listening to that and I thought to myself, wow, that is somebody who's going to get into that system and he is going to rip it apart. Well, he got into that system. He won. He beat Hillary. But America did not become great again. We became financially prosperous for a short period of time. But I don't measure greatness purely by financial prosperity. Donald Trump had a mandate to get into the system, expose the system, and rip it apart. He did no such thing. By the time that he came out 4 years later, the swamp was more powerful than ever. So I heard that clip from Dave Chappelle, and I just thought that that was really, really insightful. And that is why he captured the imagination of as many people as he did. But last Tuesday, where were those people? They weren't there. They did not show up. It shouldn't have just been a victory. It should have been a double-digit victory. And had that happened, Donald Trump would be a near shoo-in for the 2024 election. At this point, I can predict safely that he will not be the Republican nominee for president in 2024. And it's highly likely that in the next couple of weeks, he's going to be indicted and he's going to be put in jail. Now, do I agree with what the Democrats want to do with him and to him? I absolutely do not. I am just simply saying that Donald Trump, and if you go back to 2015 when we talked about this stuff in the articles that we wrote, when you go back to 2015 and I gave my reasons why I was voting for Donald Trump, and I was one of the only news outlets that predicted a landslide victory for Donald Trump. And that's exactly what happened. Well, I'll go out on a limb again, and I will say that Donald Trump will not be the Republican nominee for president. He will not be the president in 2024. And it's highly likely that he's going to spend that time not campaigning for president, but defending himself in a court of law. And that's just the way that it's going to go. And so when you look at the events that have happened since last Tuesday, it is really, on one hand, it is very, very discouraging. But on the other hand, from a Bible prophecy perspective, it is very encouraging. It is very encouraging. Now, I don't know about you, but even if Donald Trump was the Republican nominee, remember, I'm not prophesying. I'm just simply giving you my opinion. I could be wrong. But even if Donald Trump was the Republican nominee, I mean, do you really want four more years? Do you really want four more years of that? Of that endless circus? Did you see how Trump treated DeSantis? DeSantis brought just about the only meaningful victory, and he carried the entire state of Florida on his back, and he was not endorsed by Donald Trump. He was not part of the rally stops that Trump made. DeSantis did it on his own. And so what is Trump doing now? He's attacking DeSantis. Look, if we can't win a midterm election for Congress and Senate, do you think those same policies are going to put a person into the White House? It will never, ever, ever happen. And you can quote me on that, and let's just see. I hope that we're gone long before 2024 shows up. But if we're not, you can quote me on that, and we'll see how well these comments that I'm making today are going to age. But if you look at the track record that the Lord has allowed us to have, our track record is actually pretty good. Take a listen to this clip. Charlie Hurt talking about this was the failure for Republicans in the midterms.
Welcome back to the Big Sunday Show. President Biden is set to meet with China's President Xi Jinping tomorrow at the G20 as he pushes his climate change agenda while overseas. But before he left, Biden said he's not changing a thing after the midterms.
What in the next 2 years do you intend to do differently to change people's opinion of the direction of the country, particularly as you contemplate a run for president in 2024?
Nothing.
And today, the White House doubled down while promising more of one thing, spending.
The reality is that a lot of communities across the country haven't felt the effects on this yet because it takes a little time to implement these things. The president likes to say they haven't felt it yet. That's true. They haven't felt a lot of this yet. The debt ceiling needs to be lifted. It should be. It needs to happen again, obviously, sometime next year.
Oh, I have a feeling the floodgates are about to open on spending and a whole lot of other things. But, Charlie, we talked about this yesterday. I want to revisit that conversation. The Democrats, this election was supposed to be kind of a day of reckoning, a referendum on their horrible policies. The majority of Americans are not happy with what's going on in the country. They still voted Democrat. But now, is the Democrat agenda, which has failed Americans, is it now full steam ahead? Or do you think that there's going to be a pause, maybe a look in the mirror moment, a come to Jesus moment where Democrats say, you know, we won, but people are still unhappy. Do we have any hope for something like that? Or are we just out of luck?
I would love to think that Democrats are smart enough to do that. I would love to think that the Democrat Party we have today is like the old Democrat Party of Bill Clinton, but that's not the Democrat Party we have today. There is no indication that they've learned anything. Joe Biden says no change. Chuck Schumer this morning was talking about he felt a great vindication about not losing as badly as he thought he would. No, these people, they're in denial. I don't think they're going to change anything. And the only thing that they, the only sort of message out of this is that Republicans failed to make the case. When you go through whether it's crime or inflation or gas prices, there's no question about the result, you know, about these issues and how they are a direct result of these policies. The failure was for Republicans failed to make the case that we'll fix this.
Jackie, I want to ask you about this as well. You know, we're still waiting to see what the shakeup is going to be with the numbers, whether we are in fact going to take the House. If we don't, that's going to be mighty embarrassing. But now, even if we do have a majority in the House, do we have an opportunity to do anything to show the American people that Republicans have solutions? Is there anything we can do with a slim majority or no majority at all heading into 2024 that, hey, we can do something about this?
It's going to be tough to do anything to be proactive about it. But what Wall Street praised this week with that 1,200-point day on the Dow was the fact that if Republicans do take the House, at least they can block more spending or they could block the climate change agenda a little bit. And I think that's what people are thinking. They do see President Biden coming onto the world stage and openly being defiant. I mean, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I do think it was about a plan and not necessarily having that plan or being very clear about what it entailed and if everybody was on the same page. But I also think it was about issues, right? Abortion became a much bigger issue than anybody anticipated. And a lot of people who said, well, you know, I am really worried about inflation. I do care about inflation, but I care about abortion more. And that is how they voted. Or the people, you know, the young people who came out to vote and that promise of making sure that their student loans, $10,000 to $20,000 was going to be forgiven. And they said, I like free stuff. So I'm going to go in this direction. I think there were some caveats to this election that the Republicans weren't necessarily anticipating that had a pretty big impact too. But if we do, if you see the Republicans get the House as anticipated and they block spending, maybe we have a chance to try to get out of some of this.
Well, we have all eyes on international relations as well that Biden has fumbled on.
So there you have Republicans attempting to make sense of what happened last Tuesday. And you know, I honestly don't buy the argument that what happened with abortion at the Supreme Court energized the Democrats. It should have energized the Republicans, because this is what Republicans have clamored for since I was 11 years old. A long, long time. This was what every Republican, what every National Day of Prayer, what every evangelical preacher and pastor had ever talked about, was that you had to have the Supreme Court overturn Roe versus Wade. And then, miracle of miracles, the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, and then the Republicans get blasted in the midterm elections. It was not because so many Democrats were energized. It was not because of Joe Biden trying to tempt people with college loan forgiveness and legalize marijuana and all that stuff. I don't think that this election was determined by anything that the Democrats did or did not do. I put the full blame on the Republican side of the fence. And not only that, I put the full blame on the professing Christian church in America. That's where I put the blame. Because people did not show up. They didn't vote. Look, I have no problem talking about that we live in a world with a rigged system. And I have no problem talking about rigged elections. And I understand that it was Stalin or Lenin who said that it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. I get all that. And to a high degree, I believe most of that. But you know what I did last Tuesday? I voted. And last Tuesday, I encouraged everybody that I knew in real life and on social media to get out and vote. Even though that we live in a, you know, corrupt country with a rigged system, that still doesn't stop me from voting. But the reason why we lost last week is because the majority of people have no problem with the New World Order. The majority of people are not really mad at the shenanigans of Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and all these other things that we have. Rand Paul, he took on Fauci about half a dozen times in the last year, showing amazing amounts of evidence that the COVID-19 coronavirus was created by the CDC and Anthony Fauci through gain-of-function research and released intentionally from the lab at Wuhan in China. When Americans voted last Tuesday, they voted to show how they feel about the mRNA vaccine, how they feel about mandatory lockdowns, how they feel about gas at $4 a gallon. People just don't care. In Luke chapter 22, verses 52 and 53, we read this. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus said that what they were doing against him, it was a mandated time that they had to revel in the power of darkness. Let's take a look at the state and the temperature of the professing Christian church in 2022. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. This is the current state of the professing Christian church in the United States in 2022. Now, the Bible says that the New World Order is going to rise. The Bible says that the one world religion is going to appear during the time of Jacob's trouble. And on our Wednesday night and Sunday night Bible studies. We talk about these topics all the time. So we know that these things cannot be stopped. So I don't want to just leave you with bad news. I don't want to just leave you depressed. I want to use this to show you that America is not only fallen, but America had to fall. And the reason why America had to fall is to make room and make way for the New World Order. We are coming to the end of the church age. This is why so many churches of any denomination are weak and powerless. Katie is asking, so the New World Order and the One World Religion will rise after the rapture. And that is correct. But they don't rise up out of nowhere. They have to be created. And these are the things that we've been talking about. Now, that is a perfect segue to this next clip about Pope Francis. If you're a regular listener to this program, we talk about the One World Religion of Chrislam. And we have shown you on dozens of podcasts and in hundreds of articles, we have shown you that since February of 2019, the New World Order, the One World Religion has been established. Now, the One World Religion is not in power right now, but it is here. It has been created. All of the necessary building blocks have been acquired and put together and put in place. It's going to take the look, just like you have to take down America in order to bring in the New World Order, you have to take out the church to bring in the One World Religion. And that's really about the best way that I can explain it. America had to be taken down because that's the only way that the New World Order could come in. And the church has to be removed in the rapture. And that is what is going to allow the One World Religion to step up to center stage. Take a listen to this from a YouTube channel called Rome Reports. Why Pope Francis chooses to visit Muslim majority countries. Take a listen to this.
You might think Pope Francis enjoys traveling, especially considering his most recent international trip was the 39th in nearly 10 years. But you'd be wrong, because he doesn't. Even more so now that his serious mobility problems keep him mostly confined to a wheelchair. So, if he insists on getting on and off airplanes, he must think traveling is important. Just like he thought it was important to travel to the Persian Gulf recently to participate in the Bahrain Forum for Dialogue on the theme East and West for Human Coexistence. Dialogue and human coexistence have always been priorities for Pope Francis. So why go to all the trouble of traveling to Bahrain to reaffirm something he could do quite easily in the comfort of St. Peter's Square? Actually, when he returned from Bahrain, he answered that question himself in St. Peter's Square.
El foro para el diálogo Oriente Occidente por la convivencia humana fue una oportunidad para revalorizar el diálogo como oxígeno de la paz que nos ayuda a acercarnos, a aprender, convivir y rechazar la locura de la guerra.
It's worthwhile noting that no pope had ever been to the Kingdom of Bahrain before. And for anyone who's counting, it's equally interesting to note this was Pope Francis' 13th trip to a country with a Muslim majority. A few months ago, he was in Kazakhstan. Last year, he visited Iraq. And in 2019, he went to Abu Dhabi, where he signed an historic document together with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar in Egypt, considered to be the highest authority in Sunni Islam.
In the name of God, Creator, dunque, va senza esitazione condannata ogni forma di violenza, perché è una grave profanazione del nome di Dio.
Human fraternity for world peace and living together. The title of that document is itself a clue as to why Pope Francis chooses to go where he goes. He's convinced the only way forward in our confused and conflict-ridden world is through interreligious dialogue, working together with other religions to confront global challenges. In Bahrain, Pope Francis invited interfaith leaders to be exemplary models of what we preach.
So I just want to stop that clip right there for a second. You know, when I was going to Catholic school for 12 years, we were always taught that the one true church was the Roman Catholic Church. We were always taught that the Pope, when he spoke on matters of the church, was infallible. And the main thing, and I want you to think about this now, the main thing that I was taught in 12 years of private Catholic education is that the Roman Catholic Church has never changed and never will change. And yet, I have been playing this clip for you right now, explaining to you how Pope Francis has been spending the last 13 years cultivating interfaith relationships. If you're the one true church and you never change, then why on earth would you go to somebody outside of your faith and want to work with that person? That, to me, from a logical perspective, wouldn't seem to be possible. But Pope Francis, since February of 2019, has been working overtime to bring in the one world religion of Chrislam. And that's exactly what this clip that I've been playing for you is telling you. That Pope Francis, he is in a wheelchair 90% of the time. He is old. He is falling apart. And yet, he will still get on airplanes and go to Muslim majority countries to further his one world religion of Chrislam with the Roman Catholic Church and Islam.
If we sail alone, he said, we will drift.
Incontriamoci dunque per il bene dell'uomo e in nome di colui che ama l'uomo, il nome è pace. Promuoviamo iniziative concrete perché il cammino delle grandi religioni sia sempre più fattivo e costante, sia coscienza di pace per il mondo.
Engaging with the Muslim community in the world is something Pope Francis clearly thinks is important. But putting dialogue and encounter into practice requires going out to meet people where they are, even if that means getting on and off airplanes in a wheelchair.
So this is what you're seeing. You're seeing the end of America. You're seeing a lukewarm professing Christian church who can't even muster up enough energy to go to the voting booth for one day to send a message of how they feel about the New World Order. Remember how mad everybody was back in 2020 and 2021? Remember how convinced everybody was that the New World Order was taking over? Where are those people in 2022? Because guess what? The New World Order has taken over. And they did it bloodlessly. There was no tanks in the streets. There was no armed militia knocking in people's doors. They just counted on the apathy of the American people. Aunt Nancy had asked me a while back today if I could play that clip of Donald Trump back in 2020 saying that he was going to use the military to vaccinate Americans against COVID. Take a listen.
One issue that has come up is once you do have a vaccine, how do you properly distribute it? How do you get it out quickly to millions?
Well, when we have the vaccine, we have the military all lined up, and the military is going to be doing it in a very powerful manner. These are people that don't usually do vaccines. They do soldiers, and they do lots of other things that, frankly, are more difficult. But we have our general, and logistically, he's all set. Tony, do you want to say something about that?
That is correct. As the vaccine rolls out, we'll be getting them distributed. And as you probably have heard, we are going to make sure that we do it in an equitable way, and it's representative of the populations who need it the most. And we have the standard way that we determine that with the ACIP working with the CDC. But Dr. Collins and Dr. Redfield have put together with the National Academy of Medicine a group that will fortify that decision-making process so that we're making sure that we're very fair and equitable in getting the vaccine distributed properly.
And I think I could have Francis say that tremendous progress has been made on the vaccine beyond anything that we would have thought if you go back 6 months. What do you think?
It is just, frankly, quite astounding, Mr. President. I've been at NIH for 27 years and director for 11, and I've seen some amazing things happen. But the way in which the whole research community, public and private, philanthropies, everybody has come together to work on this, not worrying about who gets the credit, trying to figure out how to strip away anything that's going to slow things down. And I think all of us motivated by the fact that this is the most serious problem we've encountered in our professional lifetimes, even a day matters. And so that's why a lot of people look kind of sleepy, because we're all working 24/7 trying to make sure that nothing possibly slows this process down. Yeah, the vaccines. This week is a big week, as you just heard, having two phase three trials started in the very same day, this past Monday. And based upon very impressive phase one data showing that people who got that in the phase one trials developed these high levels of neutralizing antibodies that should be very predictive of protection, but you don't know until you actually run the trial in those 30,000 people. By the way, you heard earlier about coronavirus.gov, which is the place you can go to find out how you can donate plasma. There's another thing you can do if you go to that website, which is to sign up to say you're interested in a vaccine trial. And we need people to volunteer for that as well, because we're going to, with these four or five trials coming along very quickly, each of which needs 30,000 volunteers, that's a lot of people, and we need them.
And, Francis, we're working very well with other countries.
We are indeed. And science has always been international, and it certainly is right now. And we work with our colleagues in Europe and the UK and Asia.
All right. That's about all of that clip that I can take. But just suffice to say that you heard Donald Trump back in the early days of 2020, and he was telling you that they were prepared with the military to go house to house and door to door and forcibly inject people with the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. But it never came down to that because people took it. There were some dissenters, but by and large, the majority of Americans took the first round, the second round, and at least one booster shot. So let's check in at the CDC VAERS website. Reports through November 4th of 2022, 1,458,322 reported adverse reactions upon receiving the vaccine. 31,961 people have died. 182,907 people have been hospitalized. 138,521 people have been sent to urgent care. 16,311 people have suffered from Bell's palsy. 17,152 people have had a heart attack. 45,382 people have had severe allergic reactions. And 53,836, the majority of those people being teenagers, have suffered from either myocarditis or pericarditis. And that is just a random sampling, a random sampling of the adverse events and reactions that have taken place since the rollout of the COVID vaccine. Now, if you were to go to the CDC's website, going back to 1990, you would see that from 1990 to 2020, not more than 100 to 150 reports of people dying from anything medically related in terms of a prescription or a vaccine or whatever the case may be. But each year, there's been roughly about 100 reports of people dying. In 2021, there was 23,000 reports. And so far in 2022, there has been about 11,500 reports. So by the CDC's own reckoning, you can clearly see that this was an organized and orchestrated campaign to force this vaccine upon people. Now, why didn't people vote on that last Tuesday? Why didn't people remember when they were forced to be locked down? Why didn't people remember the toilet paper shortages? Remember that? Back in March and April of 2020, there was no toilet paper. There was no disinfectant. There was no hand sanitizer. And remember all the stuff that just started disappearing from the shelves? Well, all those things were on the ballot. And the American people voted to continue that. So that's where we are here, November 14th of 2022. And we see the lukewarm Laodicean church doing what they're supposed to be doing. We see the New World Order doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this.
Whatever my
Amen, amen. I don't normally take a break at the top of the hour, but I just had to have a cleansing moment and to get all this junk out of my mind. And, you know, I don't really like talking about a lot of these things. I don't like having to constantly, you know, the name of our ministry is called Now the End Begins. And I get that. That's the mantle, if you will, what the Lord gave me when he called me into ministry. And I accept that and I'm happy to do it. But there's just some times that you just want to fling that junk off. And you just gotta scrub the deck a little bit. So it is well with my soul today, and I hope it's well with your soul as well. And so when we look at these things, these harbingers and these portents of the end times, that's exactly where we find ourselves today. That's exactly where we are living. And we have come through one of the most unbelievable times in modern human history. And the times are, they're far from over. And I told you 2 years ago that at some point the vaccines would go away. At some point the lockdowns would stop. But the New World Order would simply just be changing tactics. And that's exactly what we see. If there would have been a red wave last Tuesday, that would have stepped us away from the rapture. It wouldn't have been an indication that we were closer to it. So when you look at all the events of what happened in the red wave that wasn't, from a biblical perspective, those things are very, very encouraging. I just got an email a little while ago. Just to let you know that we have begun shipping the Bibles to NFCC Chaplain Laird in Sayre, Oklahoma. And there's a prison. If you remember, a couple months back, they requested 1,700 English Bibles and 300 Spanish Bibles. And I just got an email a little while ago that the shipments of those Bibles have now begun. And a lot of people are not aware of the supply chain issues, and it's hard to get paper. It's hard to get shipping. And so our ability to ship these Bibles out, sometimes it gets a little bit delayed. But Chaplain Laird, if you're listening, the Bibles are on their way to you. They're going to arrive to you in stages, and we just rejoice with that, and we're looking forward to hitting that 100,000 free Bible mark. And I almost can't even believe it every time that I say it. We are really just a couple of weeks away from 100,000 King James Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions. So I am very, very excited about that. Now, here's a story that you may or may not have spent some time reading. It's about a company called FTX. And FTX is a cryptocurrency company. And they were a hot tech company. And they somehow had gotten the endorsement of Major League Baseball. They inked a deal for $135 million, a 19-year deal with the Miami Heat basketball group to rename the American Airlines Arena as FTX Arena. And this company, FTX, dealing with cryptocurrency, run by a man named Sam Bankman-Fried, last week, this company collapsed. On Friday, they filed for Chapter 13 bankruptcy protection. But this is not your usual tech company collapse. This is something that may be the greatest Fortune 500 collapse of all time. It may be worse than Theranos. It may be worse than Enron. It may even be worse than Bernie Madoff and his Ponzi scheme. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars. So, what does this have to do with the end times? Well, as it turns out, FTX Crypto Company, they were the second largest donor to the Democrat Party. Last year, they gave over $37 million. The only person who gave more to the Democrat Party was a man by the name of George Soros. We've talked about him a few times. And last year, George Soros gave $128 million to the Democrat Party. But here's where this story gets interesting. A couple of months ago, the Biden administration gave $54 billion to the government of Ukraine. And then since then, we have given hundreds of millions more to Ukraine. Now, the Ukrainian government was sending large amounts of money into FTX crypto. And then FTX crypto was donating tens of millions of dollars to the Democrat Party. And before the collapse last week, they were estimating that they were going to donate just under $1 billion to the Democrat Party for the 2024 election cycle. Now, last week, right after the election, the whole thing just collapsed. So, what you have is a tantalizing circle of billions of dollars flowing out of America into the government of Ukraine, and then hundreds of millions of dollars flowing from the government of Ukraine into FTX crypto, and then tens of millions of dollars flowing from FTX crypto directly into the bank account of the Democratic National Party. Now, Michael Savage, who is what I consider to be a very opinionated and strong person about these type of topics, this morning I had grabbed the link to an article, and I'm going to post it into the chat room, and I want you guys to click on this link. Just this morning, Michael Savage published an article with this headline: tens of billions of U.S. dollars were transferred to the Ukraine, and then, using FTX cryptocurrency, the funds were laundered back to Democrats in the United States. I just put the link into the chat room. I want you to click on that link right now, and you tell me what you see. What I see when I click on that link, I see, oops, that page cannot be found. That's what I see when I click on that link. But I want you guys to click on the link and you tell me if you can read that article. Now, this was an article that was published this morning. Michael Savage is not a wallflower. He's not a shrinking violet. He is not pusillanimous. I consider Michael Savage to be a fairly strong person with a pretty good backbone. Why did they take down that article? Tens of billions of U.S. dollars transferred to Ukraine, and then using FTX crypto, the funds were laundered back to Democrats in the United States. Why is that article taken down? Well, you know why that article's taken down. They're not going to allow that article to remain up. But I talked about this a couple of months ago. I didn't know anything about FTX. I don't have any cryptocurrency. I know a bunch of people who have invested in cryptocurrency, and they're doing very well with it. I don't understand finances. I don't understand the stock market. That is not my area of expertise. So I've never invested in cryptocurrency. So I didn't know about this a couple of months ago, but I do recall mentioning a few times that it sure feels like all this money that we're giving to Ukraine is really kind of like money laundering. So I was so excited when Michael Savage published this article this morning. And then when I went to read it, shocked but not shocked that it had been taken down. So you are certainly free to draw your own conclusion. Erad Bursch says, in the next open forum, I have a question for you. You can certainly feel free to ask that question right now, and I'll take a shot at it. Here's breaking news from the Jerusalem Post. Breaking news from the Jerusalem Post. Jordan's King Abdullah calls for Palestinian state with Jerusalem as the capital. King Abdullah II of Jordan called for the establishment of a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital on Sunday. King Abdullah stated in his speech that the conflict can only be resolved by, quote, reaching a just and comprehensive solution that begins with ending the Israeli occupation and the establishment of an independent Palestinian state on the 4th of June, 1967 lines with East Jerusalem as its capital. So you put all these things together, and where are you? Well, you're at the front lines of the end times. Have you heard this? This is a very interesting thing. Let me just pull up the link. The Daily Mail had an article over the weekend talking about they discovered this new chemical that is hovering outside of our planet in the Earth's atmosphere. And they are saying that these trioxide chemicals is actually what's triggering respiratory and heart-related diseases and contributing to global warming. Isn't that interesting? The article says, entirely new kind of highly reactive chemical is found in Earth's atmosphere, and it could be triggering respiratory and heart diseases while contributing to global warming. I don't suppose that those vaccines and that booster shot, that wouldn't have anything to do with respiratory diseases and heart issues and blood clots and, oh, no, no, no. We're going to blame that on trioxides in the Earth's atmosphere. Isn't that convenient? Well, this is where we are. And I think Ron asked for that link. Here is the link for that article. And you can go and you can read that yourself. But this is where we are. Now, if there would have been a red wave, if there would have been a strong reaction last Tuesday, that would have sent a message not only to the American government, that would have sent a message around the world that people were fed up and they weren't going to take it and they were not going to be pushed around by the New World Order. So the red wave did not materialize. So people like Anthony Fauci and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and George Soros, they now have a mandate to not only keep doing what they were doing, they now have a mandate to increase what they were doing. And the reason why they have that mandate is because they now understand that the people are not going to push back. That is what was decided last Tuesday. The American people are not going to stand up and say no. And that is going to set the tone around the world. And you just watch and see if I'm right about this. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what you're seeing. Now, do you remember we did an article? Oh, how long ago did we do an article about the creation of a European army? I'm just going to see if I can lay my hands on that article in a timely manner. But we have talked multiple times. Here it is. Emmanuel Macron's dream of a European army with himself as the EU commander-in-chief. Remember when we were talking about that and it kind of sounded like conspiracy theory and, you know, they're never going to create a European army? Well, you should never say never, because I want to read to you from an article published about 3 hours ago. European Union will set up first rapid deployment military force by the year 2025, in what appears to be the most concrete development in the EU's desire to have its own military. Lawmakers in Brussels are reportedly in the concrete planning stage for establishing a 5,000-man rapid deployment military intervention force. Euro-federalists across the continent have been eyeing the creation of such a force for some time, and the potential formation of a European military force was a key feature of Britain's 2016 decision to withdraw from the European Union. Now, when you flash forward to 2022, you find that Emmanuel Macron, he's the guy that has been pushing for the creation of the European army. And he's the guy, we told you a month ago, that he created a group to rival the European Union. And when he first talked about this, people laughed at him and said it could never happen. And guess what? On the first day of this group meeting, they had nearly twice as many people interested in Emmanuel Macron's new European group than the actual European Union. And so we told you about this a month ago. You know, if you're a regular listener of this program, if you are a regular subscriber to our End Times updates, you are one of the most highly informed people on the face of this earth, because you know what's happening long before the mainstream media is going to twist it and lie to you. We talk about these things, we compare it to the scripture of truth, and then we watch as the rest of the world catches up with us. Because we have a King James Bible, and that King James Bible is so far ahead of everybody else that it's laughable. The vast majority of End Times podcasts are not King James Bible people. And so you're going to get a lot of stuff that may be true, that may be not true. But I really appreciate the track record that the Lord has given us. We haven't had to retract a single story ever. Let me just check the story count here. It's you know, a little bit of a mini milestone, but we are just weeks away from publishing our 10,000th article. Right now, we have published 9,861 articles on the End Times. 9,861. And we're going to celebrate when we hit 10,000, that's for sure. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Please go to BibleBeliever.com and check out what's new at the bookstore. If you're coming to St. Augustine this Saturday to participate in Knights of Lights, we are meeting at the bookstore at 5 o'clock, but the bookstore will be open all day. You can come before 5, but we are officially meeting at the bookstore at 5 o'clock. We're going to have pizza, we're going to have fellowship, we're going to have a prayer time, and then we're going to get a big box of gospel tracts, we're going to get on a bus, and we're going to go down and preach on the streets to about 20,000 people for about 2 hours. So if you are coming to St. Augustine this weekend, the bookstore opens at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be open all day, and we are going to meet at 5 o'clock for pizza and prayer. And then the next day, we are all going to go to the North Side, North City Baptist Church. And that's the church that I've been telling you about. And it's really small. There's only about 10 or 12 people. It's the tiniest thing that you ever saw. But I want as many of you as are able to do so, come with us and let's worship together at North City Baptist Church the day after. That's this Sunday. Any questions, please email me and I'll be happy to answer them for you. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
Climb out of this boat I'm in, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me, time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story.
voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of